for this team that God has given me and my wife charge over. I was so broken in worship this morning. I'm always back here, usually back here playing bass, and very seldom having the opportunity to worship and to hear. This is such an anointed group of men and women of God. And I want you to give them a praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Now give God a praise for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to get started. We're going to go ahead and punch the devil in the jaw this morning, if that's okay. We're going to get this thing started this morning. Amen. Because we're a grateful people, right? Or we're a grateful people. Hallelujah then. Well, I'm going to pray, and it's going to be short and sweet. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I give you thanks this morning, dear Lord God, Father, for the precious gift of salvation that you have given unto us, a free gift, although it cost you everything, God. But we're grateful this morning. We know it is by your sacrifice on the cross, dear Lord God, that the Holy Spirit this morning, dear Lord God, is in us and with us, dear Lord God, and has brought us to this place, Lord, that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, I humble myself before you this morning. I am your vessel, Lord. Speak to me, speak through me, dear Lord God. We know that your word goes forth and does not return to you void. And Lord, I just pray that those within the sound of my voice, that they be blessed this morning, Lord, by what you have to say. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. I give thanks to God for my pastor. And I give thanks to God for his mentorship. Him and his wife, awesome people of God. And I just love them and just admire them for the way they have stepped out in the beginning. You've heard their testimonies before in the beginning, how they stepped out in faith many times and how they've trusted God through the years and they've given their total commitment unto serving God in the calling that he has upon their life. And I'm just grateful for them. I'm so grateful for them. How many of us know that we have the best pastors in Victory Outreach? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for the ministers and the pastoral staff here at Victory Outreach and all of our leadership. And all of you are just a great encouragement to my life. I thank God for my precious and beautiful wife, who is my back-to-back partner. And she puts up with me, so that's saying a lot. All right, I'm a hard case, and that's saying a lot, but I love her to death. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning, I want you to turn with me your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. And it seems to be appropriate this morning, as God has given me this message, looking back on how God has been ministering to us through some great preachers. Pastor Mondo last Sunday was here. And he had some things to say, you understand, that were powerful and that he spoke into our lives from the perspective of God. Here is a man who said that we were created for the victory. My goodness, do you hear me this morning? He said we were created for victory. We were created in victory. We were created for the victory. Hallelujah. And we have the victory. This is whether you know it or not. You've got the victory this morning. And then our pastor, Pastor Danny, spoke on Wednesday, oh man, and I mean he brought it on home there, you understand, with faith. Hello, somebody. Because we have to have faith. We have to have faith in order to believe that God is who he says he is. As it says in the book of Hebrews 11:6, that those of us who come to him must believe that he is who he says he is, and that he is the rewarder of those, for it is impossible to please God without faith. We have to believe that he is the God that the Bible tells us he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen? So it is our purpose to seek God. And if we believe this morning that he is the almighty God, the creator of all things, who has made it possible for us to even be here this morning, he's a God of second chances. He's a God of 2,000 chances. In my case, he's a God of 2 million chances, if you will. In the name of Jesus, I'm here to declare the victory this morning. It seems appropriate to me that in the midst of us having the victory in created for the victory, as Pastor Mondo shared with us last Sunday, and Pastor Danny saying that, hey, we have to have faith and believe on that. This means you have to believe that you have the victory. You have to believe that our God is God, that there is no other God besides our God. All other gods are imitation gods. All other gods are plastic gods. All other gods are wooden gods. I don't want a God that I can throw in the fire, you understand? Hello, and burn him up. Hello, somebody. My God is, he's almighty. He's the one that brings the fire. Almighty God, he's the one to put the fire in the sky. And there's billions of fires burning in the sky we call stars. And one that regulates the heat here of our earth. The one that regulates the light for us to be able to see. It's called daytime, if you don't know what it is. Because there was a time I lived in darkness. It didn't matter whether the sun was shining or not. But praise God for his sun, who shines brighter than... Hello, somebody. Thank God this morning. See, it seems appropriate to me that the message that I'm going to preach this morning, you understand, can hang on the messages that were preached previously to this message. And I want to preach this morning on Thanksgiving. I want to preach this morning out of 1 Thessalonians 5:18, very short scripture. Let's read it together. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and the Word of God reads, in everything, somebody say everything. Wait a minute, did it say some things? It said everything. What does everything mean to you? Everything. Oh my goodness. In the itty witty titty witty lane. Okay. The great big enormous thing and everything in the middle. Everything. Everything. That means this morning that no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through this morning, no matter where you've been, God has made a way for you and I. So in everything, whether you just got out of the penitentiary or the crack house, whether you just got through taking a needle out of your arm, you understand, whether you just came out of a divorce, whether your house or your car just got repoed or foreclosure on your house, God is saying, whether you were just diagnosed with cancer, whether you were just diagnosed with hepatitis C, and I'm here to tell you, because I got the victory over hepatitis C. God healed me some years ago, and I know there are several of us here today, you understand, that have been healed of hepatitis C. See, God says that no matter what you're going through, but in everything, I'm going to say it again, in everything, give thanks. Amen. But this is not only to God. Thank God for your pastor. Thank God for the brother and sister beside you in the home. Oh, goodness gracious of life. Oh, for us ex-gangsters and convicts, and thank God for the police. Huh? Thank the Lord for the police and the FBI. Huh? Hello, somebody. Thank God for the jail and the prison this morning. Oh, man, I thank the prison guard. One of the jail guards, man, he is someone, I'm not going to mention his name, but he's the father of somebody in our church. And before I met this brother, I met his dad in jail. Powerful man of God. Powerful man of God. And I looked at him, he's a very peculiar man there. What's up with him? And I found out that he's a true faithful worshiper of God. But I thank God for men like that. That when I was in jail, when I was in turmoil, when I was in my all-time low, that he was there ministering, although I was the idiot. He was ministering to this idiot, to this fool, to this convict, this dope fiend, and he was ministering. There's nowhere that you can go where God can't reach you. Oh, my goodness. You tried to run and hide. Let me speak for myself. I tried to run and hide, but I couldn't hide. Oh, I ran a four and I ran zigzags and did all kind of moves and stuff, but I couldn't hide. God's hand, you understand, is not short to where he can't reach you. Oh, and I thank you for reaching me, because a lot of times he reached me and put me in the back of the squad car. Hello, somebody. I know he was using the policeman, you understand, to get me there. Hello, and sometimes I was rebellious and the police had to beat me up to get me in the car. But I needed a whooping. Hello, somebody. Do you hear me this morning? So I look back at all the things that have transpired in my life and other lives that I've seen, and I know that God was there. If you're breathing this morning, if you have a breath, if you have a being this morning, God has been with you. Oh, my goodness. God's mercy, God's grace has been with us and upon us and is upon us now. In everything. No matter what situation, we are called to find a reason. You may not feel like it. It ain't got nothing to do with your feelings, but it's got everything to do with you knowing. You hear this word a lot in the Bible, knowing, 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 knowing. Knowing. This word, knowing, it's a relational word. I know, you understand, I got the victory because I know the God who gives the victory. Oh, shoot, y'all don't hear me this morning. You're supposed to jump up out of your seat, man's home. I hear you. God's got a work going on here. Amen. I want you to know that. God's got a work, a deep-rooted work going on. Let go. It sounds like a cliche. Let go and let God. Let go. Let go. Because you know you wouldn't be caught in the home dead if it wasn't for God. Hello. You wouldn't have been caught dead in the home. Let me speak for myself again. I wouldn't have been caught dead in the home had it not been for God. But he brought me in alive. Oh, I was tore up, but I was alive. I was probably closer to dead, but I was still alive. Hello, somebody. You see, it wasn't all over like Rover. See. Oh, there comes a time it's going to be over in this life as we know it. So we got to shape up, know Jesus, so that we can ship out when the time comes. But we are to find a reason to give thanks because it's God's will. This says here that it's God's will. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Jesus died. He suffered on the cross. He shed his blood. His blood covers us. It was his sacrifice, you understand, that he afforded us the freedom. He afforded us freedom, I said. No longer in bondage. If you know Jesus, then you know you're not in bondage. Even when you in bondage, you ain't in bondage. There's a whole bunch of guys and women in jail right now. They need to know you're not in bondage. That's only a physical thing. God is the one, you understand, we want to allow to control us in spirit, in the soul. Amen? Otherwise, this is a commandment of God. We all know how to offer up Thanksgiving. Come on now. Thanksgiving Day is coming, and we're looking at. We got a plan in our mind. I know I do. Let me speak for myself. I got a plan in my mind that on Thanksgiving Day, I got a plate that's about this size. And if that ain't big enough, in my head here, I've already built sideboards on it. Hello, somebody. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But then I got to get to the point, you understand, that it's not just about food. It's not just about fellowship, but it's about Thanksgiving. Being grateful for what God has done in your life. Being grateful for what God is doing in our life. And being grateful for that which God is going to do. See, this is a season, you understand, that Jesus is the reason we should be thanking God. See, it's not about a matter of the turkey, because I missed a whole bunch of meals. Oh, shoot. It was all about the turkey. Well, I was the only turkey running around with the headlight look. I was the turkey high on crack. I missed a whole bunch of Christmases in the prison. whole bunch of Christmases and Thanksgivings out on the street corner out here in the alley hiding from the police on Thanksgiving Day. Or sick, tore down, broke, disgusted, couldn't be trusted, if you know what I mean this morning. See, we all know how to offer up Thanksgiving in the middle of receiving blessings, but how about when all hell is breaking loose? How about in your deepest of challenges and trials and tribulations? Can you still raise your hands and offer up a praise to God? If you can't, it's only because you don't know Him yet. But if you believe He is who He says He is, then you know without a doubt that no matter what you're going through, you're going to be all right. You understand? You got the victory and can't nobody take it away from you. Come on, somebody, this morning. You got to get excited. Otherwise, let's work on the faith. Let's work on the faith. You see, I'm not here this morning to tickle your ear. I'm here to tell you what God says, which is how it T.I. is, as our pastor says. See, otherwise, can you praise God? Can you thank God in the middle of your affliction? That's what it's about right now. You see, it's a whole bunch of people running around. There's all kind of disastrous things jumping off in the world today, you know. And even the people of God are spooked. They turn on their TV, they watch CNN, and they're going to run and hide. Look here, if the sign of the times means Jesus is coming back soon, we ain't got much time then, do we? So what that mean? Oh, Lord have mercy. Say that again, brother. Go get who? That's right. See, men's home, y'all on the ball this morning. See, there's a whole bunch of people, you understand, that's going to hell if we don't reach them. God didn't save us, you know, for such a time as this just for us. But we're called to reach people. So we can't be walking around all broke down, disgusted, and confused. You understand? Walking around looking hopeless, you understand? With the mouth dragging the ground like a vacuum cleaner, you know, sucking up dust off the ground and stuff. We have to be those that even in the midst of something that the world sees us operating in our faith, that the world sees us and know that, hey, we're offering up thanksgiving unto God because we're grateful no matter what we're going through. Well, brother, they foreclosing on my house, but I know that house is gone, but God's going to give me another house. Matter of fact, I even got a mansion already. Jesus already prepared it. You see what I'm saying? See, our ultimate hope is in Christ Jesus in eternal life in His presence. That's our ultimate. But God didn't call us to be all toe up, you understand, while we're here and calling ourselves Christians. Because He said, I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. You understand what I'm saying this morning? So in the middle of this affliction, in the middle of pain, in the middle of suffering, in the middle of distress, in the middle of trouble, in the middle of misery and hardship and misfortune and adversity and sorrow and torment and tribulation and all kinds of illness, we need to praise Him and give Him thanks anyway. Thank Him and praise Him anyway. The psalmist in Psalms 119:71, he said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Wait a minute. Can I say that again? This the psalmist. What he wrote is in the Bible. Okay, ain't nothing in there that God didn't will to be in there. It's all by inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's in there. Let me read that again. The psalmist in 119:71 says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn, somebody say, that I may learn your statutes. Boy, the law never meant more to me than it does now. Statutes never meant more to me than they do now. Because you know why? When I was a gangster thug, dope fiend, you understand, I didn't care nothing about the law. You can have that law, you understand, and you can throw it in the river, you can throw it in outer space. I don't care nothing about no law because I'm here to break it. But now I've learned. I've been given revelation that God's statutes keep me alive. God's statutes keep me from walking around in misery. God's statutes keep me from walking around hopeless. God gives me direction through his word. The psalmist said, hey, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So upon your word, as I step, I'm going to be able to see where I'm going. See? And I don't have to dibble and dabble in the foolishness because your spirit convicts me. See? Before, I wasn't living in that place of conviction. I wasn't a man of conviction. Doesn't mean that I'm a perfect man now. It means that I pay more attention to my Lord and Savior. Hello, somebody. That's what it means. Because without him, boy, I can't even think about it. I can't even think about it. See, it's different when you don't know God. You understand? You walk around doing what you're doing. But once you've tasted of the goodness of God, once you receive revelation that God, you understand, is the master and the authority over life, and that, hey, it pays you good to know him and to walk around and travel in the way that he has given you charge to walk. Given us the Holy Spirit who enables us to do the things that God has called us to do. See, otherwise, the psalmist here, as he says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Otherwise, the psalmist had God's perspective on learning in the midst of affliction. One of my favorite scriptures is Psalms 1. It said, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In the statutes of the Lord, that he is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf shall never wither. My goodness, boy, y'all got to get excited about that. He's not just my God, he's your God. And that's what he said. That's what the psalmist said. The psalmist was on to something. Amen. It's not a shot in the dark. It is giving thanks and reverence unto God and his perfect will. So what we just read is not asking, it is a commandment. Wait a minute now. God, I don't feel like thanks, giving up thanksgiving. God didn't ask you that. God says, in everything, give thanks. Give thanks, for this is the what? Will of God. The will of God has nothing to do with no asking. All right? God tells us what to do. See, and you got to get out of your pride zone because, hey, guess what? Ain't nobody greater than God. You'll be disappointed real bad. Hello. I thought I was Superman or something. You understand? Trying to smoke up all of Peru and Colombia, you know? But then as I began to see people that I was running around with, it's not funny. And the fact that I'm not trying to make a joke out of it, but yeah, I look back on it now. I say, look at that fool. If I had a video, look at that fool, Charles. Well, they used to call me Jabbo. Look at that fool. Boy, I'm glad didn't nobody take no video. Well, maybe the police got some videos on file. You know what I'm saying? I used to tell the homeboys, they follow us everywhere, man. We see the big old satellite dish across the field, one of those listening devices. Thought we was getting away with something. But whether we got away with it or not, you understand, God sees everything. God saw what we were doing. You see what I'm saying? There were some things, you understand, that no matter who I thought I was seeing people on the streets drop like flies. People losing their lives. I witnessed a lot of deaths on the street. Sure did. And I ask God sometime, why did you spare me? I still haven't got an answer. But what I do know is that he had a plan for my life. Okay? All right? He had a plan for my life. He's got a plan for your life. See? So we are to give thanks and give reverence unto God and those that God has put as authorities over our lives. And like Pastor Danny was talking about faith on Wednesday, it's having faith in God, knowing that if God commands it, then it's all good. If God commands it, it's good. Amen? We learn many good lessons in the midst of afflictions. Can I testify a little bit? So in a men's home 21 years ago, the cat drugged me in. Pastor Danny said Charles slid up under the door. I was thin as the wind. I was a walking dead man. I wanted to give Kyle this morning that picture. Some of y'all have seen it, but if you want to see it after service, I'll show it to you. It's not a picture that I'm proud of, but it's a picture looking at me now. Not that I'm all that handsome, but I'm sure not looking like a dead man. I got a picture that makes people cry. Hello. My PO, when she saw the picture, she cried. She asked me, well, who are you? She was out of her office, you understand. When I walked in, this is right after I went into the men's home. I was sitting in the office. She wasn't in the office yet. I was her next appointment. And when she walked in, she looked at me, who are you? Well, I'm Charles Mitchell. She said, you stay right there. She went back to the files and she pulled a picture. And I shot and gave me a picture of it. And I shot, well, since cell phones came out, I've shot a picture of it and saved it in my phone. That's my track. Oh, that's one of them self-explaining tracks. Hello, somebody. So that's my track. It's what I use a lot of times when I don't have no VO tracks. This is who I used to be. What's wrong with you, brother? I was dead. Walking dead. Walking living dead. But anyway, she brought this picture back to me and gave it to me when I was in the hall. And she sat there and cried. She said, don't you ever forget where you came from. Don't you ever forget. See, I came into the home 21 years ago, and I came in. I was a man who had lost everything. I was a man, you understand, tore up from the floor up. I needed a check from the neck up, as you hear all the time. But anyway, I was a man that was all messed up. I was a man walking around without hope, and I was looking like a hopeless man. But the thing that really was really that I, when I look back on it now, I was a bitter man. Because as a kid, I'd heard and been to church with mama, and I couldn't believe, you understand, that God allowed me, like so many of us do. If he's a God, a living God of love, why do he allow us to go through this? So I was a bitter man. There was a God, why he let me go through? He saw that I was going to get hooked on crack. But let me tell you something. God didn't create no robots. He created us in his own image and likeness. That means we have a lot of his characteristics, if you will. That means that a lot of things that God has given us, like a mind that we can think, we can reckon, we can reason, we can choose. Hello, somebody. He's given us a mind. So guess what? He's not up there on the throne pressing buttons like this. I've given you a mind. I'm going to show you what's right and wrong. I'm going to show you what to do and what to stay away from doing. You understand? And I want you, and I'm going to give you. And I don't have to give you all the whys. Just don't do it. But then he gives us a lot of whys. He gives us a lot of whys. He gives us a lot of those ifs. If you do this, then I'm going to do this. If you obey me, I'm going to bless you. But you're going to be blessed, you understand, even when I'm not so-called giving you what it is you think you want. You think you want. But really, if you knew how bad it was, you really wouldn't want it. You see, sometimes we desire the things, you understand, that really are bad for us. God forbid, and I've said it time and time again, praise the Lord, I wasn't a millionaire crackhead. Oh, hello. Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. But I came into the men's home. I was all jacked up. I was all tore up. And I just did not understand how God could allow me to go through those things. But one of the first things that caught my attention, because I was alienating myself. Well, brother, you know, you're talking all that crazy language there in the sanctuary, and I'm, you know, hey, don't touch me. No hands. No hands, brother. Ashalama, lama, lama, whatever you're talking. No hands. As a matter of fact, I'm getting ready to get out of here. Y'all crazy. Hey, watch him, man. Hey, somebody, I'm out of here. All right? So I didn't know what I'd got into, but I began to hear the testimonies of our overseer, Pastor Jerry, who was on drugs longer than me. I said, okay, all right, okay. Brother Tim, who was my director, all right, you was tore up too? Pastor Danny would come through with his testimony and the preachers would come through and preach. Then I would hear the testimonies. Then I was afraid, you understand. That's right, I was afraid. Because I was trying to make up my mind, you understand, should I stay, should I go? But then all these testimonies, and God began to do a work on me, convicting me, making me think about it. Do you think about it, Holmes? Men and women of God, do you think about it sometimes? When you're able to be still, do you think about it? Should I do this? Should not? Okay, what do God say? Got to find out what he say. I've got to press in. I've got to research. I've got to find and pray about what he say. So then I began to pay attention to what God was saying. Not what my flesh was telling me. And not what the negative brothers was telling me. Brother, look here. Hold him up. I'm trying to hear another voice there. You talking trash and my ear is not a trash can. Okay? All right? You have to distance yourself from the trash talking. And say, God, he wouldn't be here if he knew everything, so I don't need to listen to him. Hello, somebody. But then there's those of us, you understand, who God has given longevity in the ministry and walking with him, you understand, that we need to pay attention to our leaders. So then I humbled myself and began to listen to my leaders, and God was speaking through them as well as his word. So I committed and surrendered myself to God's authority. And I began to pray and I began to study the Bible. And whoever he was using at that time to help break, mold, and shape me, I humbled myself. Amen. I humbled myself. I want to talk just briefly. There's a lot of things I've said. They're not on my notes, but praise the Lord. I want to talk about a man named Jonah, because I'm still talking about praising God, well, thanking God, which is all the same to me. Because if I'm a person who has gratitude for what God has done in my life, well, then I can praise him. If I'm a thankful person, then I can raise my hands and praise the Lord. Amen? So thanksgiving to me is just another form of praise. Hello, somebody. I want to talk to you about Jonah, just briefly. See, Jonah the prophet was a man, you know, and I want to get to the point of obedience here. Because in obedience, you understand, doing what God has commanded us to do, like being those who will thank him in every situation, you understand, we have to be obedient to that. See? And like Jonah, we've been called to go into a sinful and corrupt, hurting world with the message and the hope and plan of Jesus Christ. But like Jonah, many of us try to run from God's calling upon our lives. Whether we run physically or whether we run it in our mind. Whether, Pastor Charles, it sounds like you long-winded today and I'm just going to run right now in my mind. I'm thinking about that afternoon meal. You see, but pay attention here. Jonah, a man of God, a man, you understand, that God was using, one of the prophets in the Bible, God told him to do something that truly he did not want to do. God told Jonah to go down to Nineveh. The Ninevites were some cutthroat people, you understand, and this Hebrew man could not stand them. Hello, somebody. Get them, you know, they irked him. You know, no, God, are you sure you want me to go down to Nineveh? Some of us ask questions, don't we? God tell you what I tell you. What I tell you. Moses, go. Jonah, go. Told Jonah to go down there and warn the Ninevites. Let them know that if they don't stop their wickedness, Just like God has told us, hey, I've called you here so that I equip you and you can go tell the world, you understand. You can go reach the hurting people of the world with the message of hope, you understand. You can go reach the people in the world like I'm commanding you to do. I will give you all that you need to get it done. Jonah said, no, I'm going to head down to Tarshish over here. And he went and got on a ship headed to Tarshish from Joppa. And like many of us do, he went down in the bottom of the ship and he went to sleep. All hell began to break loose because, see, when you run from God, all hell's going to break loose anyway. Hello, somebody. You understand what I'm saying? But many times it don't bother us because we down below sleep. My family, you understand, they were going through hell in high water. My mama was crying all the time. My dad was running around saying, well, should I get him out of jail? What should we do here? See. But while things were breaking out crazy in their lives, I was somewhere asleep. So a tempest, a storm broke out in the mariners that were running around the ship, you understand. See, back in those days and even now, if all of a sudden you look up into a blue sky and all of a sudden this big hurricane moves in out of nowhere, you understand, hey, back in those days, something must be wrong. God must be mad. But many of them, because they were idol worshiping, you understand, so each one of them went to their God and asked. But I guess somebody was down below running around and said, brother, your ship is doing like this. Things is going crazy. You know, your family, they foreclosing on your house. You know, your baby don't have no diapers no more. I'm just saying, you know, in this day and time that happens. And things are going crazy. And you're over here asleep. Who are you? While we're going through this turmoil, what you doing? And they began to inquire, brother, what's up with you? Pray to your God. Pray to your God. Maybe this thing here will cease. So he went up top, you understand, and the mariners were huddled together, and I'm paraphrasing the story, and they were huddled together, and they decided to draw lots. What a lot fell on Jonah. But Jonah told them, hey, throw me overboard then, man. He felt guilty. Throw me overboard. I'm the cause of this mess. Throw me overboard. For many of us, that's easy. While the problem still exists over there, your family's running around, they ain't got nowhere to stay, but you in jail, okay? You got three meals in a cot while they roaming around without a bed. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes it's easy to get thrown overboard because then you don't have to worry about the responsibility. Hello, somebody. So they didn't want to do that because they thought something might happen to them. No, we don't want to throw this innocent man if he is innocent. But he insisted, so guess what happened? They threw him overboard. Hello, somebody. They tossed him overboard. See, Jonah, the story of Jonah, I'm going to try to be brief here. The story of Jonah, we relate to a fish that gobbled him up. But let me tell you what Jonah's testimony was when he finally snapped. Jonah was sinking down into the abyss. The Bible even says that Jonah had seaweed wrapped around his neck. Otherwise, the life was being choked out of him. Boy, that's a terrible thing. Not only are you drowning, but the life is being choked from you. And the Bible tells us, you understand, that God prepared a fish. Now, to us, that fish might be the penitentiary. You see how my thinking began to take place here in the home? Okay, all right. That fish might be that fish might be the hospital. That fish, you understand, while you're out there drowning, might be the county jail that gobbles you up. Jonah was sinking down; his life was at hand. And God prepared a fish. Now, let me tell you about the belly of the fish. It's not a nice place to be. It's dark and it's stinky. They're like Santa Fe prison. Okay? All right? And it's not the place that you want to be in, but nevertheless, I can look back and say that God prepared a fish for me, and it was the New Mexico State Penitentiary. And if you notice in the story of Jonah, that Jonah began to cry out to God in the belly of the fish. And I know that that fish, just like the prison for me, was a fish of mercy. Hello, somebody. You see, it was a terrible situation, but I can look back now and say, God used the jail. God used the penitentiary, you understand, to spare me my life. And to put me in a situation, you understand, where I could do some hard thinking about this thing. Okay? Because either this fish can digest me. It can hold me down. All right? Where you'll never see me no more. Do I want that? I want freedom. Well, when I was in the home, I said, I want freedom. I don't want to go back to the fish's belly. Okay? Or do I want to drown with seaweed wrapped around my neck? Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? So when Jonah pleaded and prayed with God, God, he spoke to the fish again, or he caused the fish, you understand. Of course, fish followed instruction and threw Jonah up on the shore there. Now, did Jonah learn anything? I think he learned a little something. Because, see, what God told him to do, you understand, Nineveh was a 3 days, it was a great city, and it was a 3 days journey. Jonah made it in 1 day. Huh? Jonah was getting somewhere. See, many of us, when the rubber meets the road, we need to be getting somewhere. We need to be accomplishing what God has called us to do. I hate to keep talking to the homes. I'm talking to everybody this morning. Listen, when the rubber meets the road, God has spared you for such a time as this that you'll be able to go and do what he's called you to do. And let me tell you something else. Of course, there's a whole bunch of scholars that think, well, okay, the fish's belly has a certain kind of acid, and they figured that this acid, you understand, it didn't eat up Jonah's flesh, but it changed his skin color. So many of them say that he was pitch white. I'm talking about white, like this paper white. You know what I'm saying? And that somebody might have been off in the distance looking at him, you understand, said, well, man, we saw fish throw up this dude, man. You understand? And he was straight white like a ghost, and he ran into Nineveh. So somebody might have went ahead and warned the Ninevites. Any way you want to look at it, Jonah entered into that city in 1 day, and it was a 3 days journey. And let me tell you something. He got to testifying. He got to talking, you understand, to the leader there, you understand, the king of Nineveh there. He went to talking to him, and he preached so hard, you understand, about what God told him to go tell him, you understand, that if you don't turn from your wicked ways, you understand, the wrath of God is coming upon you. Guess what they did? They turned from their wicked ways. Hallelujah. You understand? In such a way that it'll amaze you. See, back then they put on sackcloth and ashes, you understand, as a way to humble themselves before the Lord. In fear and trembling, you understand, they humbled themselves. Well, it says that not only, and they fasted, don't eat nothing. He declared this thing. It was so deep, they even put sackcloth and ashes on the animals. My dog might be a sinner, so I'm going to go on. Hey, you got to humble yourself, homie. Okay. All right, Mr. Rottweiler. Hey, you got to humble yourself before the Lord. And guess what? God spared Nineveh. He spared the Ninevites. But, somebody say but, Jonah was upset still. Some of us, after everything, you understand, Jonah went up on a hill, you understand, with the hot sun beaming on him, you understand, and the wind was blowing, desert sun and wind, man, ain't no joke, all right? It ain't no joke, and he went out there, and he was just complaining. He was mad because he had to go down there, you understand, tell his enemies and see God save them. God's a merciful God. It don't matter what you're going through. It's not mattering how you're feeling, Jonah. I'm a God of mercy. And I don't know what happened to Jonah after that, but God used him in a mighty way to save some people. Amen. We're called to reach out to the hurting people of the world. But we're called to do it in such a way that whatever we're going through and whatever we've been through, you understand that we're still praising God. We're still giving thanks to God for everything that he's done and everything that he's allowed. See. In Philippians 1:29, if the keyboards can come up. In Philippians 1, chapter 1 and 29, it says, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe him, but also to suffer for his sake. Having the same," and this is Paul talking, "having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is me." Okay? In this passage, what it is saying here is that we are to recognize and embrace the truth that the life of faith often involves suffering for Jesus' sake. Hello? Seems like I'm preaching a message on afflictions. Well, you know why that's coming out today? Because it's so easy for us to thank God, like I said earlier, in the midst of blessings. We see turmoil, we see things around us, and it becomes harder. And we just don't believe that, hey, I can't do it. I can't worship him. I can't praise him. I can't give him thanks. But just like praise, when somebody's sick, you understand, you need to be lifting up your hands, knowing that the God that you serve, that he's able. You need to be pressing in and praying and knowing in your mind and in your heart that God is healing that individual. Why? Because you're doing what he said do. You're praying. You're on your knees. You're on your face for that individual. And the fervent prayer of the righteous, it avails much. And this is what God says. And you have to know that you know that you know that you know that you know and claim the victory, because we were created for the victory. God don't waste nothing. He don't waste nothing. If you're still alive and you think God has wasted something in your life, you're totally wrong. God's going to use that thing that was a curse, you understand? He's going to turn it around into a blessing. It was good that you went to jail. It was good that you went to prison. And for those of you that say, hey, Pastor Charles, I've been a believer a long time, and I haven't done much wrong. But nevertheless, I suffer from afflictions. Somehow we seem to think that those afflictions, you understand, that's when we change. We change, you understand. We can change. People that once had a smile, now they got a bitter look on their face. Because they think to themselves that, hey, I've been a righteous individual. I've been doing the right thing. And I love God. But do you believe God? Do you believe God? Because in the midst of what you're going through, no matter how faithful your serve is, you understand. God wants you to understand that he can use that circumstance to turn your life around. So if we suffer with Christ, we shall also reign with him in glory. And that's something to thank God about this morning. That though I suffer, guess what? My Lord and Savior suffered. And there's no suffering like his suffering. So when you're going through trials, when you're laboring, you're heavy laden, the Bible says, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. See, you ain't got to pull that thing by yourself. I am with you. I will never leave or forsake you, he says. For I am God. I've made you the head, not the tail. There's no weapon formed against you that can prosper, in every lying tongue which rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. But this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and our righteousness is from God. Says who? Says God. I am more than a conqueror. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus who loves us. Oh, we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. God is my high tower. He's my shield. He's my buckler. He's the one who goes before us and makes the crooked way straight. God is saying this morning that if I am for you, then who can be against you? Hallelujah. Stand up and praise Him this morning. For He is God. He is Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings. This morning I want to let you know that whatever you're going through, God knows about it. He's not blind of it. We have to believe and trust God. We have to view what's going on in our life from a biblical perspective with the eyes of God. God says you have the victory. Guess what then? You got the victory. God says I will go before you and make the crooked way straight. Guess what? Just follow God. Just follow God. God said, I opened the door that can't be opened by no one else. I can open it. But when I close it, let it be. Let it be. This morning, with every eye closed and every head bowed this morning, I want you to think about it. Think about some of the hardship that you might be going through. Maybe you ain't going through nothing and you got a praise in your heart. But go ahead and share it then. Go ahead and praise God. Regardless, thank Him anyway. But this morning, you understand, I'm mindful of Brother James in the book of James 1, 2 through 4. When he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But now let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. Perfect doesn't mean flawless. What it means is that God is raising up men and women to be mature Christians. We got to leave the elementary stuff behind and grow in the Lord. That's why it's so important, you understand, that we rise up on Sunday nights and come to the life flow. It's so important, you understand, that you go to Bethy Victory Education Training Institute, which we hold right here, you understand, in our church. It's important that we go to the Bible studies, to our life groups. It's so important that when there's conferences and when there's teachings and preachings, that we be here, but not just taking up space, but we be here ready to receive. That we come with empty cups. Why would I have an empty cup? Because I gave some of what was in it away to somebody and I need it filled. Hello, somebody. It's not for us to have a full cup and walk around like fat Christians. You understand? Hoarding what God has given us and just being blowed up. Oh, I'm full of the Lord. I'm full of everything that God has given me. Well, then let it go. I'm not talking about losing physical weight. All the way. I understand that you lose some of that. But give away what God has given you on a daily basis. Think about the circumstances or the circumstance that you're in, and you would like to change it. And with a new mindset, offer prayer to God in accepting the situation as a coming from God, and in faith surrender to the authority of God, knowing that He is going to use that circumstance or situation, you understand, to make you better. And that should be my prayer. Lord, make me better. Not for me, but for your glory, Lord. For you have told me, God, you understand, that in my suffering, you understand, in Paul's suffering, he said, even in this situation, you understand, when I'm weak, I am strong. That means we don't rely on ourselves no more, but we rely on God. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, come to you, Lord, giving you thanks for the word that you have spoken to us all today, my God. Lord, there are situations and circumstances, Lord, that are beyond us, my God. And even the ones, Lord, that the adversities that we're the cause of. Nevertheless, Lord, you are a God of mercy, Lord. And we're here today breathing and standing, dear Lord God. And standing, Lord, I pray upon your promises, everyone is, my God. I pray this, my God. And that we would be those, dear Lord God, who desire your word, my God. Oh, dear Lord God, that we would be those, dear Lord God, who know your promises and are able, dear Lord God, to stand upon them and believe in our hearts, dear Lord God. Oh, Father, as I said earlier, dear Lord God, you say in your word, if you're for us, who can be against us, God? And Lord, I just pray that in faith, as they begin to sing this song here, that in faith, oh God, that your children come forth today, my God, giving you thanks, dear Lord God. Oh, whatever they're going through, dear Lord God, that they would give you thanks, dear Lord God. Oh, that you would be God in season. That you would be God out of season, my God. Oh, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Oh, hallelujah. This morning, do not withhold anything. Give God thanks.